The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely, thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about the best way to approach the Quran.
مع القرآن حين أعيش عبير الوجد وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح ويطوي عثرة المجروح.
Today, Thursday, is the 26th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 19th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. At this time, we'll listen to chapter Al-Waqi'ah, verses 77 to 82.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنه لقرآن كريم.
Indeed, it is a noble Quran.
في كتاب مكنون.
In a register well protected.
لا يمسه إلا المطهرون.
None touch it except the purified.
تنزيل من رب العالمين.
It is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds.
أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون.
Then is it to this statement that you are indifferent?
وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون.
And make the thanks for your provision that you deny the provider.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The attribute Karim employed for the glorious Quran refers to God Almighty, the most generous and the most benevolent, and the same attribute also designates a human virtue. The Arabic word also reflects the great merits of the Holy Quran and its eloquence and rhetorical figures, as well as its interesting contents. Since it is revealed by the Lord, who is the origin of perfection and beauty, God Almighty is the origin of revelation as well as the goal of the Holy Quran. The point is that divine omniscient is free from any error or alteration, and it is evident that such book originating from such sublime source is far from any error and alteration.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
The topic of this part is the best way to approach the Quran. The Quran is not only a book that is spiritual in nature, but is a complete code for life. Quran holds solutions for every problem and domain of life. Many of these solutions are directly present in the Quran. At the same time, many of them are hidden as a metaphor or messages in the stories narrated in the Quran. However, everyone cannot decipher these stories and metaphors, so scholars spend their lives understanding the Quran. They write summaries of every verse of Quran's detailed meaning that makes it easy for common people to understand. Thus, many scholars advise people to make reciting and listening to the Quran a part of their lives and seek professional help for mental disorders, fulfilling the very purpose for which the Quran was sent.
I'm
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today, we are going to talk about the different approaches to the understanding of the Holy Quran. It is possible that a book may lack an outlook as well as a message, or it may contain an outlook but not a message, or it may contain both. Regarding the analytical study of the book, that is Al-Quran, we shall have to say in general what sorts of problems does the Quran deal with, and what is the manner of presenting them, what is its manner of argument, and its approach to various problems. Does the Quran, being a defender, presenter, and protector of faith, and its message being a religious message, view reason as a rival to its teachings and clings to a defensive posture against it, or whether it considers reason as a supporter and protector of faith and relies upon its power? These questions and various other queries arise during the analytical study of the Quran. The third and the last factor that we need, and we need to take it into account for approaching the Holy Book, is the study of the sources of ideas. At this stage, that is, after verification of authenticity and verification of the authenticity of the authorship of a book, and after thorough study and analysis of its contents, we come to the stage of exploring whether the contents of the book comprise of its author's own original ideas, or the ideas have been borrowed from some other source. The kind of a study regarding any poet or author implies the study of the source, and roots of the author's ideas and thought. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
This interesting part is about ways of approaching the Quran with purity of intention. Your intention should be directed to seeking only your Lord's pleasure by devoting your heart, mind, and time to guidance that He has sent to you. That is what you barter when you surrender yourself to Allah. In chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 207, Allah says there is such as would sell his own cell in order to please Allah. Purpose and intentions are like the soul of a body, the inner capability of a seed. Many seeds look alike, but as they begin to grow and bear fruits, their differences become manifest. The purer and higher the motive, the greater the value and yield of your efforts.
وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
A small part of knowledge about levels of reading the Quran. Now, on today's special, we must sincerely believe that every word of the Quran is Allah's speech and that Allah will guide those who seek His guidance to the truth. We should read the Quran with an earnest desire to increase faith so that we may belong to those who are described in the Quran by the following words. In chapter Al-Anfal, that is chapter 8 of the Holy Quran, verse 2, Allah says, believers are those who, whenever Allah is mentioned, feel a tremor in their hearts, and whenever His revelations are recited to them, increase their faith. Again, that was in chapter Al-Anfal, verse 2. We should remember Allah with gratitude, for He guided us to the Quran. Only Allah, not anyone else, could guide us to His noble book of guidance. For this reason, we should praise the one who deserves praise, for He created and blessed us with all the bounties we enjoy, and what is more, He guided us to the truth, inshallah.
When we wake up in the morning, wake up 10 minutes earlier, 15 minutes earlier, 5 minutes earlier. Make a habit that you begin your day with the recitation of the immaculate words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings much tawfiq, it brings much light to your next 24 hours. Yes, to begin and to initiate the day with what? With the recitation of the holy book is of the greatest of importance. And to ensure that our children indeed are inculcated with the spirit of the recitation of the Quran, that the memorization of the holy book, that the recitation correctly with the ahkam of tajweed and tarteel. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the madrasa teachers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the parents who work hard to keep and to ensure that the children are what? Are reciting the Quran correctly. But it is a responsibility at the community level, responsibility at the family level, to make sure that this is adhered to. In which way? We must understand this. We must ensure that the recitation of the Quran and the memorization of the Quran in our communities is something that is beloved by our children. Let's have competitions. Let's increase what? Reward for those who recite it in the correct manner, those who memorize more, yes? Let us have that particular initiatives to keep the Quran alive and importantly relevant for our children, for our youth, at all ages.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, which was about the best way to approach the Quran. Inshallah, we continue this interesting and, of course, essential topic. Thank you very much, and keep us in your dua and supplications. Till another meeting, have a nice time.
موعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and let us contemplate upon the words of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding the prime position after him of his divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The love of Ali is a virtue which no sin can undermine, and his enmity is a vice with which no virtue is of any benefit.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam. This hadith is about the authoritativeness of the intellect, why the intellect is an authority, why it's the ruling that the intellect and reason passes, why is it binding upon us? Imam Qasim alayhi salam said, "Verily Allah has two authoritative proofs over people, a manifest proof and an inward proof. The actual words of the hadith are very beautiful. Imam Sadiq said, Imam Qadim alayhi salam said, Inna lillahi ala nasi hujjatain. Verily Allah has two authoritative proofs over people. Hujjatun zahira wa hujjatun batina. An inner proof, an apparent proof, or an outward proof, and also an inward proof. The manifest proof is represented by the prophets and the messengers and the imams alayhimus salam. And the inward proof is represented by the intellects. The intellect is the inward proof for God, the hujjat inside man. In a very similar hadith, also from Imam Qadim alayhi salam, Imam Qadim alayhi salam said the following in his advice to Hisham ibn Hakam. Hisham ibn Hakam was a very famous companion of the A'imma alayhi salam, a very close companion and a very learned companion. Imam Qadim alayhi salam said, Allah has only said, he said the following to Hisham ibn Hakam, Allah has only sent his prophets and messengers to his servants in order that they may come to an understanding of Allah. So, the ones who best heed their call are those who have the best inner knowledge. And the ones who know Allah's command the best are those that have the best intellects. And those that have the most perfect intellects will be the ones with the highest status in this world and in the hereafter. Okay, so in this hadith, Imam kind of alludes to the fact, he alludes to the rationale or the purpose in the delegation of the prophets and the messengers, so that the people can recognize and understand Allah, gain knowledge of Allah. And then he says, therefore the people who best heed the call of the messengers are obviously those who have better knowledge of Allah. Right? And who are they? Obviously, they are people with, whose reason, whose powers of reason, whose powers of understanding are better. Right? And then consequently, the Imam comes to a conclusion. Basically, this is a kind of a rational argument. Right? And in the end, the Imam comes to a conclusion that obviously those people who heed the prophets have a high stature in the hereafter. We came to the conclusion that these are the people who have most perfect intellects. So the people who have more perfect intellects, they will have a very high status in this world and also in the hereafter. This is the inner proof, the inner proof of God, the intellect and its authority over people. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the authoritativeness of the intellect in the words of Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra' بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
صلي على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I am really happy to inform you that some of the students of Sevier International School are here with us in this session, and I really welcome them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you all right?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome. Ali Nasir.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Good. And Fawad Haider.
Salam, sir.
Salam.
I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Salam alaikum, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Salam alaikum. So, welcome, brothers. So, today, inshallah, our main topic is Surah Al-Kafirun on chapter 30 of the Quran Kareem, page 603. So, Surah Al-Kafirun, inshallah, we'll have an explanation about this surah, and then, inshallah, we'll move on with the Tajweed rules. Before we start, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, and me, and also our brothers and sisters, we all together listen to the recitation of this surah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun la a'budu ma ta'budun wa la antum 'abidun ma a'bud wa la لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ.
Nice one. I will, inshallah, recite it once. Make sure you listen and repeat, okay? Brothers and sisters, please hold your Quran and practice with us. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قل يا أيها الكافرون.
قل يا أيها الكافرون.
لا أعبد ما تعبدون.
لا أعبد ما تعبدون.
ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم.
ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم.
ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
لكم دينكم ولي دين.
لكم دينكم ولي دين.
أحسنتم, ما شاء الله. Very, very important thing I want to tell you today, and keep it in mind. Sometimes, maybe some of our friends, they might give us some suggestions, okay? They might say, come on, let's go to the party, okay? Our friends, they get together, let's go there, okay? We'll have fun, okay? And, guys, if you know, because you are a believable person, okay? Because you are a believer to Islam, to Allah Almighty. And you really care about the rules and teachings in Islam, okay? The commands of Allah Almighty. So if you are such a person, that alhamdulillah you are, make sure, when you know this party, like friends are getting together, and they share a lot of jokes, they waste their time, okay? And yes, maybe even, God forbid, you will fall into guna, into sin, into ma'asiyah. okay, if you know this happens. For example, they might play the music and they might dance together. Yeah, they might have fun. Maybe I'm saying this. It does not happen to you. But if, God forbid, these kind of suggestions come to you, okay, you should be so straight. Say, no, I'll not come. I'll not join you. Yeah? My teacher was saying this, and he was reading this ayah to me and all my friends. He was saying, be straight. If you know there is something going to happen, ma'asiyah is going to happen. The words of Allah Almighty are not going to be heard there, okay? Straight. Just say, no, I don't join you. Say, inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. I care about Allah Almighty, okay? Be straight. Here, Allah Almighty tells the Prophet, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ I don't worship what you worship, O kafirun. Okay? Straight, say, I don't worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا عَبُدُونَ And of course, you don't worship what I worship, because you don't have this belief, this understanding. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ Nor will I worship what you have worshipped. You have worshipped idols, statues, cows. I never do that, because they are useless. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ Nor will you worship what I worship. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ الدِّينَ To you, your religion, and to me, my religion. But you gotta have this understanding, O mushrikeen, O kafirun, okay? That my religion is the true religion.
I have a question.
Yes.
So if you don't know, a sin is gonna happen.
Okay.
So if you commit that sin.
Uh-huh. If you commit that sin.
So if you don't know, the sin is gonna happen.
Okay.
But you commit it. But you don't know, what are you doing?
Oh, if something happens which is not in your control, you will not be punished for that. But you have to ask Allah Almighty to forgive you. Okay? Guys, if you are supposed to, for example, care about halal and haram, it's because you have free will. If you were forced to do something, and if you couldn't do anything about it, okay? Yeah, of course you will not be punished for that, because you were forced. Okay? So, that was the message of this ayah, a short message, but remember, you have to refer to the Tafasir book, okay? A lot of good teachings you can find, inshallah. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. So now we'll go through the tajweed rules. We'll practice all together, okay? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
One thing I have to tell you. You must be knowing the letter Hamza and Ayn, how to pronounce them correctly, okay? Because this surah has a lot, okay, of Ayn. Yes? لا أعبد ما تعبدون عين عين الله okay الله okay you have so be careful about the pronunciation قل يا أيها الكافرون
قل يا أيها الكافرون
أحسنتم يا أيو the mad is not wajib because you know يا is another word أيو is another word so They are compound, okay? It's a compound word, but there are two words. So you can skip them. So you can skip them, okay? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ This way. أَيُّهَا أَلِفْ مَدْ The rule says that when you have a mad letter, okay? A, U, E, plus. Next word starts with a Hamzatul Wasl. You have to skip Hamzatul Wasl because you're going to join. Next, you have to skip the mad also. Ha, ha, u, u. E. Quickly join it, okay? If it is an A sound, Alif Mat, change it to Fatha. If it is a Waw Mat, change it to Dhamma. If it is a Ya Mat, change it to Kasra. A, E, U, this way. Ya ayyuhal kafirun. Ya ayyuhal kafirun. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Fawad, next ayah, listen and repeat all of you. لا أعبد ما تعبدون
لا أعبد ما تعبدون
Great. So, لا, that was great. لا, مد is not wajib again. Yes? Because the next word starts with a hamza, so hamza is not in the word لا. They are in separate words. لا has an alif mad. So, you can say لا أعبد ما but make sure you pronounce the natural mad, okay, the A sound. لا أعبد when we say mad is not wajib, we mean stretching it for 6 counts. It's not wajib, not the natural mad for 2 counts. It is wajib here because it has to be there. لا أعبد أعبد make sure Hamza and عين أعب first is أع sometimes we make mistake أعوذ أع right. لا أعبد ما تعبدون. Next ayah. ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
أحسنتم. ولا أنتم نون ساكن plus تا
إخفاء.
From the rule, the rule إخفاء is applied. What? Is Rulikhfa hiding the sound of
noon?
Antum. Close your mouth. Antum. The lips should not touch. Antum. Produce the sound from your nose, nasal sound. Wala antum abidun ma a'bud. Right? A'bud. You stop here. The dhamma on the top of dal is changed to a sukun. The qalqala is applied with a normal level. A'bud. So, next ayah.
Wala ana abidum ma abadtum. Wala ana abidum ma abadtum.
Guys, on the top of the word ana, yes. On the top of alif, you see a circle.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think about that?
It is a sukun.
It is a sukun, but a special type of sukun.
A bigger sukun.
No. Listen to the recitation. I recite it two ways. First, I join the word ana with the next word. Next, I stop here.
Wala ana abidum. Ana abidum.
I skip that alif, right?
Wala ana.
I stop. So it tells you a special rule. If this sign, circle, tells you, if you join the word ana with the next word, you skip alif. But if you stop on the word ana, you should stretch it for alif mad. Alif mad must be pronounced. Look.
Wala ana abidum.
You skip that alif, yes? But now.
Wala ana.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Ana. So, yeah. That's it. عابدون ما أعبد. ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد.
Okay, it's the same as the third ayah. So, last ayah.
لكم دينكم ولي دين. لكم دينكم ولي دين.
Make sure it's not ولي الدين. No, there is no alif lam. ولي دين. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. The tajweed rules were mentioned here. Make sure you practice them. And the tafsir, yes, refer to the tafsir books, inshallah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us. We recommend you stay with us, inshallah, with the next coming sessions on IRB English Radio. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran.
a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
If you ask me why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me proudly I would say I am a Muslim If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up, in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray, five times a day, when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din wal-Azam, ghair din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic rules or laws concerning the different types of water according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahth al-Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahth al-Kharij, he started Bahth al-Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about different types of water and their Islamic laws according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode. You know, to purify an impure item of clothes in water, whatever.
Yes.
It may be, whether it is the cold water that you want to, you know, remove the impurity from it, or the running water. Well, is it obligatory, is it necessary to squeeze the clothes inside the water, or you have to first take the clothes out of the water and then wring it out?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, says that it will suffice to wring the clothes out or shake them inside the water. It is sufficient, and obviously it is better to wring the clothes out of the water because sometimes, of course, you know, wringing doesn't make sense because you want to, you know, force the water out and by squeezing it and make sure that there's no water left. And when you squeeze it inside the water, then there will still be some water left in the clothes. So it's better to wring it out of the water, but mm-hmm. of course it will be sufficient to squeeze it or wring it out or even shake it inside the water, according to His Eminence.
Uh-huh, I see. Okay, thank you very much. Another question would be related actually to the running water or the tap water. In order to purify an impure carpet or anything like it, is it enough, Sheikh Javi, to apply or to use the tap water for that impure area only? We all know that usually the tap water is connected to the city pipes.
Sure.
All right?
Yes.
Well, so is it enough to apply the tap water to that najis area, or should the used water be extracted as well?
Well, this is a very frequently asked question. You know, a lot of families have problem with their carpets, and some of them cannot even remove the carpets because it's glued to the floor.
Yes.
And this makes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, some people live in wooden houses and they cannot use water. So these are different, mm-hmm. there are different problems.
Yes.
When it comes to, you know, purifying a carpet, His Eminence actually says that after applying piped water or the water which comes from the tap, after applying this water, removal of the used water is not necessary. So it's not actually important or necessary or wajib to make sure that there is no water left. It's not necessary basically to remove the water when pipe water is made to flow and spread on the najis carpet. So it can remain there,
mm-hmm.
and the carpet will be purified. And His Eminence also says that after the of course, it's very important that the inherently najis object should be removed first. There shouldn't be any najis object seen or visible on the carpet. Of course, it should be removed first of all to make sure that, you know, there is no najis or impure substance left on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And after it is removed, then water, should be the pipe water or the tap water should be made to flow on the carpet. And when water reaches all the area, all parts of the najis carpet, of course, the used water has been, after it has been removed from the carpet, then it's not necessary, of course, to press it with your hand, okay,
mm-hmm.
To make the water, you know,
come out
of the carpet. So it's not necessary. You just need to simply
apply the water.
Yeah, apply the water and try to, you see, make the water flow out,
mm-hmm.
if as far as possible.
Yes.
But it's not necessary to squeeze it or to press the carpet with your hand to make sure that there's no najis water left. So because the tap water, it's very important. We are not using little water,
yes.
or qalil water. We are
True.
Using, for example, cool tap water, which is considered to be cool according to the religious authorities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not running water because
You mean as long as the impure substance is not there, color is not there, the smell is not there, it's pure.
It is pure.
Yes.
Of course.
After applying the water, of course.
When we talk of smell, we don't consider all smell to be, for example, making the water impure. You know, sometimes the water may give the smell of the carpet.
Right.
And not the smell of urine or something
exactly.
like that. So that doesn't mean that there is still smell and, of course, the carpet is najis. No. If it gives the smell of something other than najasa, it doesn't mean that it's najis.
Mm-hmm.
It is pure, actually.
Right, right. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about different types of water and their Islamic laws according to Ayatollah Khomeini's fatwas. Well, Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question. This might be a frequent one. In order to make a wudu, let's say, all right? Or
yes.
Let me put it this way or rephrase my question. What is the rule of wudu or ghusl? Made with the water hard by nature or thick by nature, basically,
yes.
all right? Some water, like the seawater, for example,
yes.
is thicker than normal, or the tap water, the purified water that we get through the running through the city pipes,
sure.
right?
Yes.
I'm talking about that kind of water with a lot of, for example, salt, like the water from the lakes
yes.
or the seawater. So what's the rule of the wudu made by that kind of water?
Okay. Well, the mere hardness of the water due to the presence of salt does not actually prevent it from being considered as unadulterated